Why don't we pray and then we'll read our Bibles. God, come to you and we thank you because you are good and you're kind and you're loving and you bless us in so many ways. We see the sun outside. We see each other. You're so good and kind. So now, God, as we open your word and we read, we think about you, we try to capture your thoughts. We pray, God, that your spirit would move through your word and that you would guide us, that you would help us to know you better and love you more. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so I wanna say something that I think is true of probably everybody. And instead of trying to think of an exception, while I say this, ask yourself, is this true about me? So I'm gonna say it and then you think to yourself, is this me? Is that me? Or maybe it's not you. So here's the thing that I think is true of many of us, all of us maybe. We all aspire to be good. Inside of us, we want to be good people. We want to do good things. We want to be good husbands or wives or parents or children. We want to be known as, you know, a faithful friend. We want to be the good friend, not the one that everybody kind of avoids and can't talk in front of because we're going to gossip about them. We want to be good. And then when we come to God, knowledge of God develops around us and within us. We want to know God and have a relationship with him. And we want to help other people spend their eternity with God. We want to do something good with our lives. We want our lives to count for something. If we thought about the end of our lives, I think we would all want that to be true of us, that people would be able to say, yeah, not funeral good, you know, where everybody is good, but really, genuinely, he was a good person. He loved Jesus. She was an exemplary person. The problem is that we derail ourselves. We want to be good. We want to have a good legacy, if you will, live good lives. We derail ourselves. Our problem is that we live in the moment. In the moment, we do what we want. Our actions in the moment take us to different destinations, different places than we would actually plan on, that we'd actually think about. We live in the moment. We're governed by our desire in any given moment. Any given moment, I know what I want when I'm hungry, when I'm bored, when I'm sleepy, when I'm angry. I know what I want, and then I do. And I feel and I say and I think whatever I want in that moment. That's kind of how our lives are run. It's what do I want right now? And then that drives me to do and to say and to feel and to think. And sometimes social norms don't let us do and say everything we want to. But on the inside, we're driven by what we feel in any given moment. We don't think about the end of the journey in every moment. We don't think about where we're gonna end up and who we're gonna be and what we're gonna do and what we're gonna accomplish at the end. We don't think about that. We sometimes stop and pause, like right now when I said, think about the end and what kind of person do you wanna be? And we think about it then, but then in the moment, when you're feeling that thing and you're about to respond and there's the situation around you, we don't think about the end. We do what we want moment after moment, and then that ends up taking us to destinations different from what we would have wanted, something we never would have planned on, that we never would have desired. It makes us become people and have marriages and become parents and children and have a relationship with God that we never would have planned on. We never would have said, that's who I want to be. That's where I want to end up in this area of my life. And here's the big idea for us today. It's a principle you could see in the universe. You could see around you. You could see in other people's lives. You could probably, if you're honest for a moment, look in the mirror and see it in your own life. Everything takes us somewhere. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we feel or think, everything that is part of who we are takes us somewhere. Everything is making us get closer to or taking us farther away from the person that we want to be, that we would like to become. Our life is like a path. So look down the where I'm looking down. It's like a path. Our life is like a path. And every decision that we make, every reaction to someone or something that we have, every set of words that come out of our mouth, every time we treat somebody in a certain way, good or bad, every emotion that we let live inside of us, every attitude that we have, every friendship that we tolerate in our lives, everything that we listen to, and that we see, that we watch, everything that is part of who we are and that we do takes us down the path that is our life and makes us become the person that we will become. Don't you think that in part that's why God said, take every thought captive? Why? Because even our thoughts take us down a path. They lead us somewhere. Or the place in Ephesians where God says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. So don't tolerate emotion, this negative emotion of anger, sinful emotion of anger in you. Don't let a day go by where you're still angry at someone. And then what does it say? Don't give a foothold to the devil. Why would he say that? Because letting that emotion reside in us takes us somewhere. It makes us be someone. It takes us down the path. That's why everything takes us somewhere. That's why our persistent and our hidden sin is so dangerous, because we justify it. We say it's not a big deal, but it changes us and it destroys us. It takes us down a path and we don't think about that. Here's what I say. Here's the question that I ask myself when I'm in the moment. I say, what's wrong with that? It's not that big of a deal. Yeah, I reacted in that way and I said those words and I had that tone in my voice, but given what was happening, that was a perfectly natural, logical reaction. What's the big deal? We say, what's the big deal? It's not really that bad. The problem is that everything takes us somewhere and it takes us down a path, and we end up arriving at destinations as people in our lives that we never would have chosen. We can see this pattern, not just in our own lives and in the universe and the other people around us, in everybody. We can see it in some of the biggest, saddest stories in the Bible. Think of Judas, the disciple of Jesus. Judas, the disciple of Jesus who hung himself. Judas, the disciple of Jesus who betrayed Jesus. And before that, he consulted with the leaders and decided on how much money they were going to give him to betray Jesus. And before that, he stole money from Jesus's ministry funds, from their group money that they carry. He carried the money and he stole from it. Do you think that when Jesus called him, one of the 12, the Son of God, said, "You, I want you to be one of my disciples, be one of my inner circle." Do you think that he, in that moment, thought, "I am going to let greed, and I'm going to entertain fantasies of greed, and I'm going to think about what I might do with that money to the point where I start stealing from the Son of God, and then it's going to get to a point in me where I'm going to think about how could I leverage my closeness to Jesus to get more money, and then I'm going to have a conversation, I'm going to have a conference with the religious leaders, and then I'm going to betray him, and then at the end of that, I'm going to feel so guilty, I'm going to kill myself." He didn't think that. He in no way thought that's where he was going to end up. That's not the path that he was choosing, but his decisions and his actions in the path took him along the way, and he became that person. So greedy that he stole from the Son of God and he betrayed Jesus. Or go back farther in the Bible. Think of King David. Think about the darkest chapter of his story. He had a good story. There was a dark chapter, several dark chapters, but one dark chapter in particular. And so then let's trace the path that took this chapter to such a tragic theme in where there were two deaths, hearts were broken. David's legacy is ruined, because as soon as I say King David's darkest chapter, you know exactly what I'm talking about, his legacy being ruined. What happened? Do you think that when he made the decision, the seemingly innocent, not a big deal, decision to stay home in time of war instead of going out and shirking his duties, not doing what he was supposed to do as the king, that he thought that it would end up where it ended up? Or do you think that when he went up on the roof and started looking around and then started seeing people and stuff and then saw the neighbor and kept looking at her and kept watching her, and do you think that he thought it was going to end up where he had any idea that seemingly tiny little innocent action was going to take him where it ended up? And then when he called for her, we don't even know if he had fully developed, here's what's going to happen tonight. But it did, and he spent the night with her. And then do you think when he called her husband home from the field of battle, because now she was pregnant and he needed a reason for her to be pregnant, so he calls her husband home from the field of battle, do you think that he thought, now, if this doesn't work, I'm going to end up having my men effectively kill this brave man? Nothing in me Nothing that you would see in the story of David makes you think, oh, he planned that out. That he knew that was going to happen. He did. It's just one decision after another. And the story ends with God punishing him by making his son die, heartbreak and death. Everything takes us somewhere. Every decision we make, every part of our life takes us somewhere. So it's not just the negative stories. We can see this principle on the positive side. Look at how Jesus, open your Bibles to John chapter 17, and I apologize that it's this far in and I'm saying open your Bibles, but it is what it is. So John 17, verse 4, look at how Jesus finishes his life. He gets to the end, and look at what he is able to say to God in front of his followers. So it's true because they could have called him out and said, no, not really. But he said it and it was true. I've glorified you on the earth. Jesus speaking to God, having accomplished the work you gave me to do. Every decision he made during his life, every emotion that he let himself feel, every friendship that he developed, every word that he said, every action that he did, took him to that moment where he was able to look up to God at the what was to be the end of his life on earth and say, I glorified you, I accomplished what you wanted me to do, ended well. Nothing to be to say, oh, I wish I wouldn't have, except for that thing. He finished what God wanted of him. He chose that path every day of his life, and it took him to that moment where he was able to say to God, I did it. I did what you wanted me to do. Look at the Apostle Paul. In spite of dark chapters in his history, look at how he ends. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read in verse 6. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. So Paul now, the Apostle Paul is in a very similar place to where Jesus was, very close to being to dying, to being at the end of his life. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I'm about to die. Verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He had dedicated himself to his Lord, to his kingdom. He'd given his life to Jesus. He lived in such a way that he could get to the end and say, I finished well. I'm the person, God, that you wanted me to be. I've done the things that you wanted me to do. That's incredible. That is every decision along the way, taking him to that place. And listen, it's not just Paul and it's not just Jesus. By God's grace, you and I, the grace that we receive from Jesus on the cross, you and I can also live in a way that we get to the end and we're able to say the same words that Paul said, I've fought the good fight. This is the guy who said, I'm the chief of sinners. So he's not saying I'm perfect. He said, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. There's a crown of righteousness waiting for me. You and I can say that, can get to the point at the end of our lives where we can say that. But we have to remember something along the way. It's not enough to say, oh, I want that today. And then the rest of the week, just live however we feel like in the moment. We have to remember that everything takes us somewhere. Everything that we choose to see and to watch and to listen to and to think and to do and to say and the friends we have and the way we choose to feel, and everything takes us closer to the destination of who we're going to be and what we're going to do. So what should we do? We should learn to ask a question. We should learn to ask a question that honestly I hated. I can't believe I'm doing this because I hated this question, especially growing up. I hated it because my parents could use it wisely to shut down anything. I felt that anything that I wanted. It was, well, where's that going to take you? Where's that leading you? What's that getting nowhere? I'm just going out with my friends. It was like, well, where's that going to take? Where are those friends going to, where the, we have to learn to ask ourselves that question. Where is this taking me? Where is this going to take me? We have to learn to examine our lives and ask ourselves that question when I'm feeling something, when I'm about to do the thing, when I'm about to say that, where is this going to take me? What kind of person is this turning me into? Where is this taking me? What kind of, am I going to look back and what is this making me as a person, as a follower of Jesus? Look at 1 Timothy before what we read at the end of 2 Timothy. So just a little bit farther back. quite a bit farther back in Paul's life, but look at what he tells Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. And there we see this principle, give yourself to these things, and they will make of you, and you will do, and it will make your legacy, and you will become the person and do the things that God wants you to do. And other people will even be able to see that. Work diligently in the kingdom. And then look at verse 16. Look at what he says. Keep a close watch on yourself, on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. A huge way that we keep a close watch on ourselves is by examining ourselves, what we're saying and what we're thinking and what we're feeling. Don't let your emotion just be something that happened to you. What we're feeling, what we're gonna do, the people that we put in our lives, the things that we give ourselves to, the things we don't give ourselves to, and ask ourselves, where's this taking me? That's the way we take care of ourselves. That's the way we watch ourselves closely, is by saying, where is this going to take me? That question, where is this going to take me, is so much more helpful than saying, what's the big deal? It's not really that bad, is it? It helps us because we are experts in justifying what we want. We're experts in not seeing the how bad it is to just let little actions take us down a path and turn us into somebody that is the opposite of what Jesus is like. We're experts in not appreciating how horrible it is to waste our time and our life and not do the things that Jesus wants us to do in his kingdom as we live our life. We're experts at justifying what we want. And this question brings clarity. Where is this taking me? It brings clarity because it reminds us of the end. It reminds us it's a path and I'm going towards a destination on that path. And then it relates what I'm about to do and what I'm feeling and what I'm thinking. It relates that with that path and where I'm going to end up on that path is an incredibly helpful question. Where is this taking me? We should learn to ask ourselves that question in every moment when you're feeling something, when you're about to react to somebody, when you're deciding what to do with your time, when you're justifying that sin that's kind of a part of your life and you want to say it's not that big of a deal. Where is this taking me? We have to learn to ask ourselves that. So how can you learn? How can you remind yourself? How can you remember to ask yourself that question? I don't have an answer for that for you. I'm thinking about that for myself. Because I was going to be talking about this today, there were many times this week where I started asking myself, where's this feeling taking me? Where's this way of reacting to my family taking me? Where's this? And it was very helpful. How do you remember to ask yourself that this week? What reminds you? How do you do that? You got to figure out a way. We all do. To ask ourselves regularly as we go through our day, where is this taking me? And here's another question, specifically for those of us who are Christians. Here's a question for you and I. What do you have in your life right now? Maybe actions or thoughts or emotions or words, relationships, whatever the thing is, that is taking you farther away from who you know you should be, who God wants you to be. What is that thing that you have in your life that is taking you farther away? We wouldn't say, well, it's taking me on the wrong path, but if you think about it, it is. But that thing in your life that's just taking you farther away from the person God wants you to be. And I think right now we should think, okay, I've watched my life closely. I need to leave that. I need to make sure that's not part of my life anymore. And if you're not a Christian, if you've never given yourself to Jesus by repenting and being baptized, Jesus invites you to give yourself to him, to repent and be baptized, to make him the Lord of your life. When you do that, you enter into God's family. And you have to ask yourself, if you're not a Christian yet, you have to ask yourself a couple of questions. Here's a question for you. Where is it taking you letting moments go by when you could give? There's an invitation and I could give myself to Jesus and then you don't. And where is that taking you? And where would it take you to act in that moment? Make your decision and give yourself to Jesus. What will you do with Jesus and with his invitation? For those of us who are Christians, we have a moment of silence. We're going to pray. We're going to open up a little package with some bread in it. pray again. We're going to open up the fruit of the vine. We're going to drink that. As we do that, as we take the Lord's Supper, this is a moment for you and I to remember the one who finished well, the only one who truly, truly finished well. He's our example. He's the one, as we remember him on the cross, remember his life, remember shortly before the cross, him telling the Father, I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work that you gave me to do. He's our example. We're to strive to be like him, to finish our lives like him. And by what he did on the cross, he fills those of us who are in him with his Spirit, with the power of his Spirit, so that we can walk down the right path and make the decisions and be the people and think the thoughts and feel the things and do what we should with our time and become people who finish well. And because of what he did on the cross, he forgives us when we don't. He forgives us when we don't do what we should. He gives us his perfection when we don't make the right decision and do the right thing and I feel the wrong thing and then I realize that later and such a wretched man am I. How do I finish well? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, he gives me his perfection and then he calls me to imitate him and to be like him and to finish well like he did. Why don't we not stand? Old habits die hard. As we get ready to take the bread, why don't we pray? Jesus, we love you. We thank you for the incredible thing that you've done. You not only finished well, you lived a much more difficult life. You died a much more difficult death than us, and you did it perfectly to the glory of the Father, and you leave that as an example so that we can follow in your footsteps and be like you. And you also extend grace and mercy to those of us who can look behind us this week and we say, I wasn't the person you wanted me to be. There was that time, the thing, and I felt and I didn't, and you forgive us and you love us and you make us be your perfection before the Father. God, I pray that you would find, as we remember your sacrifice, that through your Spirit, you would give us a way for each one of us to remember as we go through this week to ask ourselves, where is this taking me? And that we would imitate you as we go through our week. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.